Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Ralton said if I get tired or anything, I just grab my calf and lay down up here. You guys will understand. If anybody watched the ball game last night, you'll definitely understand, right? So I do have that ability. If I get thirsty or anything and you see me lay down, Ralton, just jump up here and finish up, okay? All right, we'll take a pause. But now if y'all start throwing stuff at me, I'm going on to lunch. I'm just saying. All right, man, what an exciting morning. What a great morning. Worship was on point. God's presence was definitely felt. Sometimes in life, we feel like we just have, we have to do everything on our own. Anybody ever felt that way? Like we just get to a point where it's like, I can take care of this. I need to take care of this. I'm going to do it my way. And so often, if you know me, if you know Kirill very well at all, Kirill's way usually leads to something that isn't great. Kirill fails quite a bit. And going down that path of my own way changes the outcome when we should actually be saying, God, what can you do in my life? How can you use me? Tell me the next step I need to take. Before we go any further, I know that last week that we had some news that Leanne had passed, and I do want to share that tomorrow that we are going to be having a receiving of friends and a funeral at Mount Pleasant? Pleasant Hill down in 10 Mile from 1 to 4 with the service to follow. So if you guys would like to be able to come out and support the family and show them some love, that'll be happening tomorrow. Please continue to be in prayer. But so often when we get in life, we get to where we think our own self, we need to do everything on our own, and then when we do that, we get limited to our own selves, right? See, God is limitless in the things that He can do, but our own flesh, our own blood, our own bodies, we can only do what we were created to do. And some of us can do less than others. Like if we were going out and running a marathon, right? I say the marathon man, Mr. Pryor back here, and I believe Ron, you run a little bit too. Not anymore. Done with those days. The foot, we're getting old. Pryor's still got some years left in him. Yeah, he's going. He says they're just 5Ks. Well, they feel like marathons to me. Quickest I'm going to do is run in the truck to go to the Mexican place afterwards. Amen? You know. Okay, so often we're limited by what our own bodies do that we make choices that aren't the best for us. Right? And we make choices that we think are fixing the situation, but we don't have enough faith, enough strength in ourselves to say, God, can you do what my limited body can't? Can you help me when the limits of my flesh can't go any further? When my mind doesn't know what else to do? And we come into a situation here where we've got Abraham. If you guys want to go ahead and start opening up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. If you go back just a chapter before that, Abram comes into a covenant with God and becomes Abraham, right? So he is God's child. He is into a promise, into a covenant bond. And now God comes into the picture. So let's get started before we go too much farther in chapter 18, starting at verse 1. There's going to be quite a bit of reading this morning, so just take in the word, soak it in, study it, and pray over it. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them, bowed to the ground and said, my Lord, I have found favor with you. If I have found favor with you, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later, you can continue on. Yes, they replied, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make some bread. Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried and prepared it. And Abraham took curds and milk as well as the calf that he had prepared and set them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he answered. The Lord said, "I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So she laughed to herself, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I have delight?" But the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I am old? Is anything impossible for the Lord?' At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son." Sarah denied it. "I did not laugh," she said, "because she was afraid." But he replied, "No, you did laugh." Let's pray. Lord God, I come to you today and thank you for all you do. And Lord, even if I feel like I'm not prepared to go out and to do your work, Lord, that I know that you can prepare me, that you can give me the strength. Lord, let me not seek wisdom in my own way, but seek wisdom in the way that would lead to giving you all of the glory, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with us today. Allow your word to come into our minds, to come into our bodies, and for us to go out and then share that word with the world, Lord. I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as I said earlier, sometimes we do things in our own way. And to set up what exactly is going on here, well, first we start at the beginning of chapter 18. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting in the entrance of the tent during the heat of the day." I have a feeling that Abraham was sitting here, he was praying, he was trying to figure out what God needed out of him. We know that he had come into a covenant with him, and yet now he's sitting there in the middle of the day seeking, and the Lord shows up. We know the Lord shows up because of the way that Abraham speaks to him. As a matter of fact, when we go to the word Lord and we go back to the Hebrew, that word Lord does not mean Lord as in a servant saying that, but literally God himself in the way that the Hebrew is written there. So we know that God is in his presence. And I have a little different idea that some people do in this situation. I believe this is Jesus standing here because it is God in the flesh. I believe Jesus is standing here and he is talking to Abraham. And so often we think that since there are three, maybe the Trinity's here, but there's a little bit difference. If we read on into chapter 19, we know there are two angels here with God, God the Son. We know this because these same two angels walk down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know all what happens there whenever God rains down on Sodom and Gomorrah. So we have what I believe is Jesus standing here in the flesh with two angels. And in that covenant bond, that relationship, Abraham immediately recognizes them. Immediately. I'm here to tell you, if you are actually looking and you are in prayer and you are in the midst, when God comes in the picture, so often we are able to immediately see him, right? We get into that situation where we think everything's lost and there's no hope left. I'm wondering what I need to do left. And clear as day, God makes a decision to come into our lives and to use us. And that's exactly what he is doing here. He has walked up to Abraham and he has said, "You know, the things that you've done in the past, I am about to bring you something new." So in their conversation, we have the exact same thing. That's the standard greeting for somebody that would come up, except for when Abraham goes in and says, "Lord, my Lord, can I just give you some water for your trip? It's not enough." So often in our ministries, we think, "Hey, you know, God, I'll just do the bare minimum and you can cover the rest." Well, Abraham doesn't go that way. Anybody ever done that in ministry? Like, you know, I'm going to, my ministry is going to go in and help clean the church. But by helping clean the church, the only thing I'm really going to do is vacuum the the mat at the front of the door. And that's my idea. So often our ministries are that shallow, right? But God calls us to do more, to give more than that, right? To be more involved, to give everything that we possibly have to Him. So Abraham doesn't just stop with the water that they agree to. He goes in and he says, make some bread. Go prepare the meat. Let's have a meal. Let's do everything. I'll grab the water as well to wash your feet and to give you a drink, but I'm going to give you everything that I have, the ultimate welcome into my home. This is for you to be here, for you to want to be here and give me direction. Abraham knows who he's talking to. God desires the best of us, not the minimum. And as he goes into this situation and he gives God everything, he sits down and God reveals to him what his purpose is for being there. He says, where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. You guys remember a time, I know we had some discussion earlier in this origin series. Do you remember a time where God asked a question, he already knew the answer? You guys remember that? As he's walking through the garden, Adam, where are you? He knew good and well where he was. He knew where Sarah was, but he calls out. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he answered. Lord said, I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son! Exclamation point. Now, although this seems like just a standard statement, hey, he's going to be blessed with a son, one thing that we have to realize is that Sarah is nearly 100 years old at this point. As a matter of fact, Abraham and Sarah, let me go back a little bit. Abram and Sarah, pre-covenant, had made a decision that everything must have just not worked out. So Abram needed to have a wife or have a son. So he took another woman and had a son and did his own path, right? He went through his own way, and he had another son in Ishmael, and that wasn't the exact plan that God had for him. He said, no, wait a minute. Why are you doing things in your time? So often we get into a situation where we do things out of too much haste. We rush too much into things. We get there, and we make our own path, and we totally stir up and make things in a way that is much harder for us to do, right? We think if we will just jump in and just get busy doing something, that's better than nothing. The problem is that we don't get into prayer and seek for answers quick enough. We don't see how God could possibly be working in our lives. Now, I do know some other good news that anybody here a baseball fan? Anybody a baseball fan? You can't be a Yankees fan and raise your hand. I'm sorry. Anybody ever watched the movie Angels in the Outfield? You remember that movie Angels in the Outfield where you've got a terrible, terrible team and they're just trying to do whatever they can do. They kind of give up on the game. They are just terrible. And every decision they make just seems to fail until these angels step into their lives. And all of a sudden, you see miraculous things. Like there is a time that this outfielder is running, right? And he jumps and you can see through this little boy's eyes, these angel picking him up to go and catch this ball. And when he catches the ball and he goes down to the ground, he looks at his glove. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were to run and jump and grab one of the lights up here and come back down to the ground, the last thing that I'm going to look at is my hand. But so often we do that in our own lives. We think our own physical grab there is what made the situation great, right? It wasn't the fact that God lifted me up to the point that I could even reach that light. We take it into our own self and say, my hand must have done that. My physical self must have done that. And then we start planning things in our own way. Abraham had done this. He had had a son in a way that God did not see fit and not in God's time. Why? Because he didn't have enough faith. We go just a little bit farther. It says, now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now, when we talk about the age of childbearing here, we talk about she's gone on, her body physically can't have kids anymore. We talk about going through that menopause stage. She is past the physical position, the physical age to be able to bear children. Said so she had laughed. She started to laugh at herself. She wasn't in the tent. She was outside. She laughed in the fact that God said, you can do something. As a matter of fact, when we go in just a little bit farther, the way she thinks about herself, says she passed the age of childbearing. In that, when you relate it in the Hebrew, when you go back and you talk about the way that she describes this age that she was in, it was like an old, worn out garment, right? Or piece of clothing, right? I used to have my Kingston PE shirt, right? And I loved my Kingston PE shirt. It smelled terrible. It looked terrible. Literal holes were not just cut out of it, but I had worn it so long it had rubbed on my other clothes or on my skin so long that it had started to, you could see through it. You could read a newspaper through it. Kids, newspapers are things that we used to have. Back before we had cell phones and iPads and stuff, you actually read a piece of paper that had news on it. And sometimes that news wasn't instant. It was like from days ago. It's crazy. But anyways, you could read through it. So my wife decided one day that if she was just joking around and horseplaying, maybe she could rip the sleeve out of it. And by sleeve, I mean this section, because you guys know I'm not wearing sleeves outside here. She rips my shirt. I'm so attached to this shirt that I get it and I tie a knot in it. And I still wear it for like another 2 years. This shirt was useless and worn out. Yet I had so much faith in it that it brought me luck, or that whatever it was. In this same way, she describes herself as a worn out, useless piece of clothing. There is nothing in here that can resemble something that would give new life. Sarah thinks so low of herself, not only could she not give Abraham that son, that prized possession that every father would want at this point in time. Not only could she give him that when she was in her prime, but now she's old and she's past her time and there's nothing. Her physical body can't do it. People would tell her, to the point that she laughs. When we get into the ministry, when we get into God's purpose, so often he has things for us to do and we just laugh. That laugh that she has is truly the giving up sign. There's no hope there. What are you talking about? As though God lives within our own physical restraints. That's the thought process that we sometimes have. God, you want me to go out and you want me to change the world for you? Yeah, right. This morning in Sunday school's class, we started a talk about in Mark chapter 5, we have Legion. We have this man that is just torn up in sin, right? And so many people had just given up to the point that they had sent him out to live amongst the dead. He was out there. Nobody else wanted him. He was bound up by chains. And it said the chains he would break, the shackles he would break. There is nothing that physical man could do. Nothing that he could do. Everybody had given up. He was out there and he was crying out. He was cutting himself. He was doing terrible things. And there was no sense of humanity left in him. They had given him up to sin. They had given him up to the world until Jesus steps in. That's the key in our life, right? Yes, even though we may be old or we may be bound up, we may have sin tearing us apart, we may have physical restraints that tear us apart. When God needs something out of us, not only does he tell us, but he equips us. He gives us the strength. He gives us the ability. When the world or our physical selves say you can't possibly do it, He steps in. In the same way in that Angels in the Outfield movie, whenever they go out and they're the losing team and everything they do, they fail at. When God steps in, the angels step in, all of a sudden success comes. The question is, do we realize success? When God walks into our life, when Jesus walks into our life with those angels, do we see Him? Do we recognize Him? Do we know Him? Or do we think, it's just me all by myself still here? God, I see you over there. I know you tell me that I could be something great, but have you seen me? God, I know that you talk as though I could be something more, but have you heard me? So often in our own minds, we get lost in things like our age or our height or our weight or our inability to talk or our bad vision or whatever it is, our lack of time and whatever it is. We get so caught up in those things that we come to the same response that Sarah has. Sarah just laughs. She giggles. I'm here to tell you that when God comes in and speaks truth into our life and gives us direction, this is not a laughing matter. When God comes in and says, hey, I'm going to bless you with a son, you might as well consider it done. The waiting process is just waiting for the blessing, not for if it's going to happen or not. If you're wondering if God's told you, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to, I don't know, plant a church, or I need you to teach a class, or I need you to step up and help a discipleship group. But, hey, I don't know how to do this. I don't know where to go. But God's called me into it. Maybe I'll succeed. Maybe I'll fail. No, if God has truly called you into something, if He has conversation with you and says, I need you to do this and I'm going to bless you with the ability, it's as good as done. It does not mean that the path won't be rocky. It doesn't mean that it won't be difficult to get there, but it is done. On this day, you can consider Abraham to have a son, a rightful heir. Said Abraham and Sarah were getting old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, so she laughed at herself. After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I have delight? She questions God. But the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, can I really have a baby when I am old? See, we go back just a little bit farther. We know that this is God, not only in Abraham's account, but we know this is God because it says right here, she laughed to herself. This wasn't a situation where she heard him and laughed right in God's face. She laughed to herself. But I'm here to tell you, if we fail to realize how powerful God is, if we fail to realize that God is a part of every aspect of our lives, that He can read every thought that we have, He can see every good and bad cell in our body, He knows if we are having a good day or a bad day, He knows our thoughts, He knows every aspect of us. God proves it in the fact that He sees Sarah here. Even though she laughs to himself, he asks Abraham, why is she laughing? Why is this even a thought process? Abraham, tell me, why is your wife think that this is impossible? Do you not understand who I am? See, that's the problem that most of us have, is that we understand who we are. We understand our own failures. We understand the things in our life that we struggle with, right? Prior, I'm probably not catching up with you in that marathon, right? I'm probably not. However, if God sees fit, God will catch up with you using me. That is very much possible. When we really have an understanding of who God is in our lives, when we really understand who God is, despite ourselves, it can be done. It will be done. God asked Abraham, why? Why does she laugh? Why often do we laugh? I believe it's because we don't have a full understanding of who God is and how powerful He is. We don't understand that when we do good things, that it's through God's will and God's power that those things are able to be done. See, I'm here to tell you that in the same way as the church was being planted or that ministries are being done, that all of the things we can try to label them, and all the good things in our life that we can try to label them from things that we have or skill sets that we have, but that would be foolish to do so, because the only way that we have the ability to really do good and to glorify good is through the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. When we realize that we are limited, yet God is limitless, we have to come to the same conclusion. If God's limitless, He can be limitless through us. It's not a laughing matter. I know that several of us talk. You may have a fear of speaking. Don't speak. Let God speak through you. You may have a fear of being around and talking to people, or a fear of going out and starting something for God. Don't do that. Allow God to do that through you. Just be willing. Be willing to open your mouth. Be willing to allow God to speak through you. Be willing to allow God to use your hands to play those instruments. Be willing for God to allow you to be the hands that prepare the feast or prepare the building or whatever it is, to prepare the altar. Be willing. God calls us to be willing and to have the knowledge of Him. Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son. Not she might have a son, not it could happen. She will have a son. I will be here. Sarah denied it. I did not laugh. She said, because she was afraid. But he replied, no, you did laugh. God knows every aspect of us, even sometimes whenever we think that there's nothing left in our life that we can hide and we can lie to God, but God knows every aspect of our lives. He knows every thought that we have. We got to stop lying to God. We got to stop giving Him all the excuses. We got to stop fearing the sense that He may use us. Now, there's a difference from a fear of being used and having fear in the Lord. But we got to stop being limited by our own thoughts and our processes. Go out, call upon the Lord. When He says something is done, it's done. It's finished. When He says, I need you to have a son, you will have a son. I need you to be able to speak for me, you will have the ability to speak for Him. When I need you to go out in the world and change the world, it will give you the power to do so. When He says, go out and speak to that man that is chained up and bound and tied up, He will give you the words and He will be there with you. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for loving us. I thank You for giving us Your word, Lord. I'm sorry that sometimes we have that lack of faith, Lord, that lack of faith that tells us that we can't do something, Lord, because we know all things are possible through You, Lord. And the only things that are impossible in this world are things that we do outside of You, outside of Your will and Your way, Lord. Whenever we try to just think about ourselves and then the things that we can do, Lord, that is when the impossible comes in. But God, whenever we are working through Your power, that whenever You are in our lives, when we gain our strength through You, Lord, allow us not to be like Sarah. Allow us to not laugh. Allow us to not be and not to have faithlessness, Lord, but to know just as this clear as the sky is blue, that when You say something, it will be done. But I thank You and I love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.